Today on Real Radio.
Jesus didn't die to make bad men good. He died to make dead men live. And that's us. And for those of us who have experienced that, there's nothing greater. It's not on us. All to Him we owe.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 5, Paul continues to build his case and clarify his terms regarding how the true believer in Christ is changed from the heart. In other words, the new man won't just exhibit an outward transformation, he'll also experience a change from within. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Love from the Heart.
The next time somebody raises the hand of persecution against us, understand this. They're fulfilling Bible. Isn't it awesome that our Bible warns us about this in advance? Listen, to the world, we're crazy. They don't understand. But Paul says, look, if we seem sane to you guys, it's because we love you guys. So what do? If the world's going to think we're nuts, then what do? You do what's the right thing to do. We love on each other. We love on the world. And listen, among one another, we'll say thank you to each other. And the world's going to say, you're crazy. And that's okay. Do you understand that? You understand that's good? Paul's not saying, we need approval of people. No, he's saying the opposite. He's saying, because we have the approval of God, we don't need the approval of people. We just do the right thing. And that is a liberating way to live. That's the reality. I pray that in our own nation, there'd be a sense of hunger for reality, to think that all the way through, which leads us to the second point, and that is, answers the reason. Love from the heart answers the reason. Reason being this, number one, for our motive. Our motive in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us. Will you circle the word compels? Compels us because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. That is Christianity right there, ladies and gentlemen. One verse. This is amazing. I know that this might sound a little rude. I'm not saying it to be rude. I'm saying it to be accurate. And I want all of you to catch this, though many of you probably heard this before. When I say that Christianity is lodged in this verse in totality, for the love of Christ, isn't that John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And this love compels us, meaning the Christian has experienced the love of God. Watch, church, we didn't read about it. We didn't hear about it. He's touched us with his voice, with his hands and his feet in ways that cannot be defined or described in totality. This one verse keeps going. Because we judge thus, the word is discerned. I have approached this. I've looked at this thing called faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, everybody. And I've come to an overwhelming conclusion. It works. He's alive. He changes us. It's undeniable. He keeps going. That if one died, notice in your Bible, it's capital O on the word one. It's reference to deity. If one died for all, then all died. What in the world is he talking about? This is good news. Watch this. I quote, the love of Christ, the very heart of God is love. And we thank God that his love, number one, is not a human or earthly love. Number two, it is not a blind love towards sin or our selfish actions. And number three, it is not a passive love or a tolerant love, but rather a pure and unrelenting love. God looks at every one of us, and he will never coddle us to make us comfortable for the moment, but he will even stir us up to make us saved for eternity. He'll convict us. He'll speak to us. He does it to the Christian and to the non-Christian. The Christian to keep him on the path, and for the non-Christian to come to salvation. So what's going on? It's all rooted in Jesus, the love of Christ, but the word compel here is amazing. In your margins, write this down. The word in its original means this. It means to encompass or encircle. The word means to imprison in a good positive sense, to imprison. It means to be so preoccupied with a thought or a concept. It means to be possessed or conquered by. What? What am I to be possessed by? The love of Christ. What should have conquered me to be a true believer? Legalism? Nope. The love of God. Do you see now? Watch this. For us today, we'd name the name of Jesus. Why do we reach out to a hurting world? Because we have to. That love that's within us, because we've experienced it, we've got to let other people know. See, well, Pastor, shouldn't we let other people do that? No. When we've experienced something that is so life-changing and undeniable that it possesses us, what do you think our normal response would be? It's exactly as Paul is talking about here. And so I'm convicted by this because I want to evaluate my own life. Am I truly a believer in the sense as God would have me to be? Is Jesus Christ, listen, instead of a crutch that people will accuse us of, is he my very reason and is he my motive? Oh, yeah. The next thing is this, our thinking. Because we judge this, we've discerned this, and I don't need to belabor it. It simply means this. Answers for reason this way. Christianity, listen up, everybody. Christianity, take it and match it against all faith groups in the world. Even atheism, which is a faith group, you know that. If you say you're an atheist, you're putting all your faith in the hopes that God doesn't exist. It's your religion. Take all faith groups and come to a conclusion. Whatever that faith group is, do any of them say that their God loves you? That their God created everything, and that their God saw our sinful condition, and that he loved us so much that he came to free us from it? He loved you so much that he has been like a hound dog from heaven coming after you all these years, and he won't let you go. Nobody can claim this. Do you understand that? I know that sounds like a tall statement, but it's a fact. And no other religion even pretends to say such things. Again, I'm not asking you to put your faith in this church. It can do nothing for you. Don't put your faith in any man. Don't put your faith in any system. Don't put your faith in any human ordained practice. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, in his finished work alone, and you will see heaven. That's all God requires you to do, is look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And it's not the faith of, boy, I've got a lot of faith, or I'm sorry, I don't have much. It's not that. It's not the volume or magnitude. It's the object of what that faith is in. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ to save you and to give you eternal life? He does. Welcome to the family of God. And match his claims and the claims of the gospel up against all others, and they're all bankrupt. You name it, they're bankrupt. Next, priorities. Look at verse 14. That if one died for all, then all died. Priorities. This is absolutely awesome. And by the way, the ancient world understood exactly what Paul is saying right there regarding this. Priorities. If one died, then all died. See, we don't get that in the West, huh? For example, listen, the context is of war. When we go to war, we have armadas and we have squadrons and we have thousands and thousands of troops going to war, right? We all understand that in the Western world. Did you know the ancient world, it was not uncommon for them when two massive armies came together? In fact, you actually know this. You know this. When two big armies come together, the leaders can say things like this. Hey, it's too hot. We got to settle this. But I got to get going, and it's 100 degrees out here. Why don't you send out a champion, and we'll send out a champion. Whoever wins, that settles it. Did you know the ancient world did that stuff? You know the story of what's his name? David and who? That's right. Send out a representative. However it turns out, that's the end of it. You know what's awesome about this? Paul is saying, Jesus Christ is our champion. He went out into the battlefield by himself. He took all of the troops, right? And in his representation, he died at the cross. He died on the cross representing us. And you see, if that was the end of the story, it's a pretty sad story. It would have been the most romantic love story ever, that this one, Jesus, died for all the world. But thank God it's not a romantic love story. It is a fact. Jesus dies on the cross, but listen, 3 days later, he's resurrected from the dead, exactly as the Bible said. So watch what happens. He not only goes to the battle for us that we don't have to go fight now. Isn't that good? You don't have to fight Satan. You don't have to fight the grave. You don't have to fight death. You're a Christian now. That's been removed. Jesus broke it. And he died, and in him dying on the cross, the Bible declares that everyone who puts their faith in Jesus died in that moment also. But we take advantage of it like this. I got saved in 1977. The moment I came to Christ, the old Jack died in that moment, and the new Jack began. It's called being born again. Before that day, I would make plans to sin. I would call and make appointments for sinning. I would get my friends. They would give, hey, what kind of ideas you got for sinning? I got this idea. What kind of idea do you have? I got that idea. And we lived for that, right? And then we hear the gospel. Makes a total dent in the plans. You can't even sin right anymore after you become a Christian. Or we're having a great time. I don't know why, but it's not like it used to be. You know what I'm talking about? This doesn't work anymore. So, it changed in a moment. What happened? Even though that happened 35 years ago-ish, Jesus made it available 2,000 years ago. And I simply, in my time zone, entered into the change. I came to him. And the power of his cross and resurrection affected my life in that instant. Now, I just shared with you a little while ago about a litany of people who are outside salvation but came to salvation. Now, look, in all honesty, how many of you were, as far as you can remember, you were Christians? You were born and raised in a church? You went, raise your hand. Just, I need you. That's a lot of you. See, my wife was like that. Lisa was born and raised in a Christian church. She can't tell you the day she accepted Christ. She's always believed in Jesus, and Jesus has always been the priority of her life, the focal point of her life. Even when she was running away from God, he was there saying, you're running away from me. I didn't know that. But some of you have these incredibly grotesque stories. I mean, mine wasn't that, I say mine wasn't that bad. I mean, I put Jesus on the cross, my sins did. But, you know, some people like, man, I murdered a man. I murdered a man. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, and a street fighter. By the age of 5. And then I really got bad. You know, these amazing stories, and that's tremendous. But here's the thing, is now that you're a Christian, the awesome thing about all this is when temptation comes and knocks on our door now as Christians, we just, when it knocks, open the door, hello, I'm temptation, and I'm coming after you with this. With who? You're coming after who? You. Aren't you Jack? Yeah. I'm coming after you. Oh, you must want the other Jack. That's the Jack that was alive before 1977. Yeah. Yeah. He's not here. And it goes like this. Hey, you know. No. No, you don't understand. He's dead. He died. He died in 1977. He's not here. You understand what I'm saying? As Christians, that's how we're supposed to now act when temptation comes. Hey, what? I want Jack. He's not here. Is your name Jack? Well, my name's Jack, but it's not the same guy. That guy died. He's dead to sin. You see, that guy, in fact, have you ever tried to tempt a dead man with an ice cream cone or something? You dangle an In-N-Out burger double-double animal in front of him. What does he do? What does a dead guy do? He does nothing to that. He's dead. temptations like that to the Christian. It comes in and says, oh, dig it. So, what are you doing? You guys, don't tell anybody. This is a true story. I keep getting these phone calls from this company. I think they're like in Bangkok, Thailand or something, because they call me at the stupidest hours. Yes, can I speak to Jack, please? And they've been calling for like a year, seriously, maybe longer. And I'm so fed up. Last time they called, exactly. You did that too? I did. But listen to the response. They called, they asked for me. I said, you know what? He's dead. He died. You know what the guy did? Oh, I'll call back at a more convenient time. Hey, even though you and I are Christians and we are dead, temptation will call back at a more convenient time. When you open the door again, say, he's dead. Paul says, reckon the old man, what? Dead. When temptation knocks, dead. You don't have to go that way, dead. He's given us a new life. That's the priority. And third and finally, we end with this, and it's a quick ending because I'm out of time. Love from the heart answers the question, verse 15. This question here, is there life after death? Look at verse 15, he died for all. Oh, I love this. People will ask, is there life after death? It's funny, all these TV programs, all these documentaries, all these things, find life, fountain of youth, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, really, you're really serious about that? Oh, we're so serious about it. We wear crystals and put gems in our navel, and we're so serious about finding the fountain of youth to live forever. And then you say, well, man, dude, I got a great news for you. You have to do all that stuff. You can pull that stone out of your navel and get up and come have a burger because Jesus died for your sins and he gives you eternal life. And they go, what? Then people freak out. How bad do you want eternal life? Really bad. Jesus gives it. I don't want that. Have you noticed that? My point is this, he died for all. That very truth, listen, logically, reasonably, follow this through. If God came to earth and died for our redemption because he's holy, there has to be a blood sacrifice. It can't be by a human because we are all unrighteous. God, who is righteous, took upon himself the form of a human being, died in our place, took the penalty of our separation from God, but then rose again from the grave to empower our salvation. How good is that? You have an attorney in heaven who not only pays the bill, but he takes the rap and then comes back from being sentenced to death. He comes back from the grave and says, now that I've done all that work, let me make sure it works out fine for you. That's what he does for us, Jesus. And he takes us all the way through. And listen, if hell wasn't a threat, if sin wasn't a threat, if death wasn't a threat, then why did Jesus die for the all? Because all those things are true. But they can be canceled out in a second if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you meet him, the very argument that he died for all is proof positive that what's online is eternity here. There is life after death. Verse 15 goes on to teach us that there's more to living. Aren't you glad? More to living. There's more to living. He said that those who live should no longer live for themselves. This is good news. Are you listening, everybody? We're almost done. This will liberate you. That verse means stop thinking about yourself. That's what it means. Are you listening? Please. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ loves you and died for you? If you do, then we're done talking about ourselves. Do you understand that? Well, I need to talk about me a little more. No more you. Because listen, the more we think about us, the more messed up we get. Listen, Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, cush it, pat it, think about it all the time, like Daffy Duck and that stupid pearl he finds on the beach. Jesus said, if you're living to save your life, you're going to lose it. He says, but if you give it up, you'll find it. This verse means Jesus freed us from us thinking about us. Every time you and I have thought about us, we've gotten messed up. Things like this. Oh, my feelings. He hurt my feelings. I mean, that really hurt. Okay, so deal with it. Forget it. Who cares? What does God think about you? God loves me totally, but he hurt my feelings. Forget about him, right? Think about it. Well, I preached the gospel and that guy said he hates me. Jesus said in John 15, they're going to hate you like they hated him. Be free. Right? Be free. And then this is the end of this. This is awesome. Listen to this precious closing. But for him who died for them and rose again. Friends, listen, Jesus didn't die to make bad men good. You can't do that. You can't get from here to heaven like that. I'm gonna reform myself. I'm gonna stop drinking 2% and start drinking non-fat, and I'm gonna eat my vegetables and I'm gonna just march on into heaven. You can't reform your, you can't. Yes, it's true, Jesus died for the entire world. There's hope to this question, is there hope for me? Oh, there's hope, and here it is. He died for the sins of the entire world. He died for me. He died for you. And that demands my surrender. That requires me to give up. I'm not big on the word surrender, but when it comes to theology, it's the only thing that works when it comes to Christ. You can't offer him anything. You are to surrender to Jesus. Jesus didn't die to make bad men good. He died to make dead men live. And that's us. And for those of us who have experienced that, there's nothing greater. It's not on us. All to him we owe. And so I leave you with this. It's Jesus who said. Now look, he said this. You're going to have to deal with this. Jesus said, for example, several times in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus said things like this. Jesus said that I am the first and the last. He said, I was alive and I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. What person is your salvation anchored to? Who is it? Is it you? You're in trouble. Is it Gandhi? You're in trouble. Is it Peter, Paul, or Mary? You're in trouble. Honestly. Is it Billy Graham? Is it the Pope? You're in trouble. There's only one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was dead, and behold, he's alive forevermore. That's the one that saves you. And that, my dear friend, you need to have that absolutely. Be your fiber so that the love of Christ constrains you, makes a prisoner of you to tell a world that is out there crazy, hurting, and dying. They need to hear the truth, even if they don't want to hear it. You ask God, Lord, open up the door of opportunity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Love from the Heart. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 12 through 15, where Paul explains how the true believer in Christ is changed from the inside out. Love from the Heart. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, question, have you signed up for Pastor Jack's real-life devotions? They show up in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners who subscribe to Real Life Devotions just love them. And they're letting Pastor Jack know. Here's what one subscriber to Real Life Devotions wrote. Wow, God is good. I want to say thank you for these Real Life Devotions. They never seem to fail to enlighten my day and keep my eyes on the Lord. Today's Real Life Devotion has just given me another look at my life and put that fear of the Lord in me, and I'm grateful for that. Love reading them, Marissa. Thanks, Marissa. You can subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch with us by phone, our number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.